The following audio file came from newwineonline.com. Here's Pastor Chris Simpson.
Father, we thank you this morning for your presence and your provision. And I pray you come and quicken the word to us, encourage us. And everybody said, amen. Turn, if you would, to Proverbs 12. I'm just going to share a couple of verses this morning. And on Hebrews, on Sundays, I really mean that. On Fridays, I have the right. I say, well, we only have a few more verses here. And I've been pretty good on Fridays. And we really have been cutting it short. We got out at 2:30 in the morning this Friday. Man, we're getting out early. I'm kidding. We're actually ending around 9. So I am trying to cut it short. People around here are getting old, and y'all need more sleep, so praise God. By the way, there was this husband and wife. They were arguing about who ought to make the coffee in the morning. And the wife insisted the husband, and the husband said, look, you need to do it. I'm the breadwinner, blah, blah. And finally she said, it's in the Bible. I said, what do you mean it's in the Bible? It's in the Bible that you want to make coffee. What are you talking about? Well, she's turned to the book called Hebrews. All right. Okay, so he knew it was obviously a divine calling. Okay, Proverbs 12:24. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful will be under tribute. Now that in the NIV, in Proverbs 12:24 says the slack hand will be under tribute. We got any slackers out there? Huh? The hand of the diligent will bear rule, but the slothful. You know, a sloth is a unique animal. It's a creature that hangs around upside down about 18 hours a day. He sleeps so much that algae grows on him. Okay? And the Bible picks a sloth as a type of people that refuse to be diligent, and they tend to be under tribute, or they tend to operate under bondage. Under tribute means they have a taxing bondage in their life. They're under slavery. And if I found one thing in my life, and I wonder if you found it too, that if you do not have an acceleration pedal in your life, you're going to have a drag most of the time. You've got to have an acceleration in your life to walk with Jesus Christ. You've got to have something in you that's pressing forward and pressing in every day. If you're the type that, you know, you're just not a motivator, you know how much motivation or initiation you tend to just, you know what, folks, you're going to live a dragged life. Now this morning what I wanted to talk about briefly is overcoming the insatiable demands of the body and soul. How many of y'all know that your body has demands on you? How many was it demanding on you this morning? An insatiable demand of the body and soul. See, Solomon is drawing a distinction here between two types of people, the diligent people and the slothful people. And I really believe there are two kinds of Christians. There's diligent Christians, slothful. There are Christians that are overcoming things in their life. There are Christians that are overcome by things in their life. There are Christians that are ruling in life, or there are Christians that are letting everything in life rule them. And Jesus himself said, you're either gathering with me or you're scattering. You're either with me or you're against me. We're either hot or what? Because he laid this out really clearly. There is really no gray area in the walk with Christ. In fact, Christ once said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, Christ knew that there would be pressures in our life. And he knew that we would need to have an attitude of resisting the pressures, the insatiable demands of the body and soul. Every day, the flesh is weak. Something's going to be demanding of you. You know, and you mamas know what I'm talking about. Before you had kids, you know, you pretty much, your time was your own, your life was your own. You have kids, you have no life. What instead you have is a bunch of little demanding things around your feet, right? Mama, I want this. Mama, I want that. You see, now, God has ordained that men leave in the morning and go and make the breadwinner. Amen. After they make coffee for the wife. All right. But we have these demands, and it's just like that. You know, our body, our flesh, there's so many insatiable, that means kind of craving demands against us every day. That's just part of life. Jesus said, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. And I believe it takes diligence and discipline to daily overcome the insatiable demands of the body and soul. Now let me give you an example of what I'm talking about, so if any of you can relate. What are some of the demands of the body? Well, tiredness. Some of us are immediately quick to obey the body's least suggestion in this area. Your body just kind of nudges you. I'm tired. Okay, that's enough. I'm going to bed. I need to have a quiet time. Your body says, no, you need more time or dead. I hear and I obey. And so you pull the cover over. You say, I need to be covered in the Lord. We are quick to obey the least command or demand of the body in that area. How about hunger? The body says, feed me. And we follow. Sometimes at 2 in the morning, we remember. We have a vision. We had a revelation of that piece of pie that no one else in the house has had, and we know it's still sitting in that second shelf in the refrigerator. So we know if I don't get up at 2 this morning, it's going to be gone by breakfast time. That's true in my house. You wouldn't believe what some of the guys eat for breakfast. Last night's dessert. Or compulsions and cravings. Well, many of us have heard, did you know that demons, let me say how this works. Listen carefully. Demons live in the flesh and manifest through the flesh when you yield to the flesh. Does that make sense? They are. Demons live in the flesh. The flesh is the domain and the jurisdiction of the demonic. It's true. It's a fallen nature, fallen creatures. I've never met a dog that doesn't have the potential for fleas. I've never met a human that didn't have the potential for demons. But there may be demonic curses or demonic spirit, that doesn't mean they need to manifest through you at all. They manifest in the flesh when you yield to the flesh. When you allow the flesh, when you allow the demands of the body or the soul to begin and you yield, then they manifest through the flesh. And suddenly there's something that's got a control of you. At first it may be you just kind of yielding to something, you know, that just because you just, and it's not, but you know, the more you yield to it, before you know it, something's yielding to it through you. And there's a greater power than you, and you can actually get to the point where you're indulging in behaviors in the flesh, and there's no joy in it anymore. You know, it's no joy, but you keep indulging, so you have to up it. And we see that with drug users. You know, I used to work with drug users a lot in the past, but they'll start with a certain low-level drug, but at the point, there's a point it doesn't get the high anymore. There's no kick. They have to up it. You know, when I was a kid, and before I got saved, we did marijuana. I was a marijuana weekend user. I said, well, I'll never do the hard stuff. I'll stay away. I'll never touch that hard stuff for mescaline or cocaine or LSD, which was a drug of popular use back then. I never did use it until one weekend. There didn't happen to be any marijuana around. Went down to the bowling alley where I scored my weed, and they said, there's no weed to be had, but we got some paper acid, man. And I said, I'm standing there. I said, well, I never swore I'd never have it, but there's no weed, so I guess I'll have it. One thing leads to another, right? Do you know, once I did a hit on LSD, I wanted it again. And had it not been for Jesus Christ personally manifesting an audible voice from heaven telling me, son, don't do this. You're my son. I heard an audible voice from heaven tell me, stop. I stopped. Praise God. I never touched it again. I literally heard an audible voice from heaven saying, don't do LSD anymore. You know what LSD stands for? Lust, sin, and death. But you know, how many drug users, and you've heard about, they'll go from one and harder and harder and harder drugs. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for that high. They're looking for that, what? That kick, that buzz, that escape. And that's it too with alcohol. Somebody just said, well, I just need a glass of wine to settle my nerves, you know. Well, you know, after a few months, guess what they need to settle the nerves? A couple of glasses of wine. They need a little whiskey. Well, you know, it's the same thing in other realms. It can be escapes, whatever it is. Once you feed the flesh, there's a scripture. In fact, look at this. Let me show you what lust is. Best picture of lust in the Bible is Proverbs 30, verse 15. 30:15. This is a picture of lust, craving, insatiable desires. It says, the horse leech has two daughters. Now, is that sick? Have you ever thought of a leech's kids? I guess a little baby leeches. I once had a house I rented on Park Street in Houston. And in the shower stall, it had one of these flimsy wall things that it wasn't nailed to the wall, and there were leeches living behind it. And it was me and another guy, just two kind of slovenly guys lived there. And occasionally you'd get in the shower, and the leeches would be in the shower. A couple of them would drop through the bottom of the thing. And my brother came over once, and he looked in the shower. He said, he reminded me of that for years, the leechy shower. Some people have leaky showers. We had a leechy shower. and little baby leeches. Well, this verse says the horse leech has two daughters, and what are they crying? Give, give! What does a leech do? A leech leeches you, and it sucks on your blood. It says the leech breeds more leeches. Once you have one leech, it's going to birth more leeches. There are three things that are never satisfied. Look, he says four things never say it's enough. The grave, the barren womb, the earth that's filled with water. Have you ever noticed if you pour water in the ground, a hole in the ground, what happens? You got to keep pouring water in the ground until you fill the entire planet with water, then it'll fill up. And what's the last thing? And the fire. You know, no matter how much you throw in the fire, it's still going to want more. And that Bible says that lust is like a fire. In fact, if you want to see that, it's in Proverbs 7. He says, can a man, Proverbs 7, verse 27, says, I'm sorry, Proverbs 6, 27, says, can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one go upon hot coals in his feet? Lust, cravings are like a fire burning within. Well, the more you feed it, the more it's going to demand. So, you know, you got to finally get to the point you realize, I'm never going to be satisfied by yielding the things of flesh. Only the things of the Spirit will satisfy. Can amen? How many of y'all are beginning to get somewhere near that point? Nobody. Okay. Let's start from the beginning. You must be born again. Can amen? How many of y'all are beginning to get to anywhere near that point? Come on. Humor me here. Raise your hands. Rex says, I knew it. Okay, we're beginning to get somewhere near it. Lord, please, Lord. You know, many people just jump when lust whispers. How about soulless demands? That's the bodily demands. What are the demands of the soul? You know, the soul speaks of your mind, your emotions, your will. And just as a body can have demands, so can your soul. Intellectual demands of the mind. Look, I struggle with this. I have an inquisitive mind. I have a mind that, frankly, if I had my druthers, I'd sit and read all day long. I love reading. I love... And you know what? That's good, but it can be unhealthy. Because I sometimes just got to know this and got to read this, and sometimes you put stuff in your mind you don't need in there. Can that amen? When I go through the newspaper, I've learned there are things I don't need to read. There are articles I do not need to put in my brain. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? But sometimes we're drawn to things. It may not be dirty or nasty. It's just info data that, you know, it's going to... There's some songs I don't need to listen to. Not long ago, I listened to a song I downloaded a couple of years ago, and I listened to the song. Do you know it's been almost every day for 2 weeks... And I'm going to hum it to you so it'll be in your brain, too. Those boots were made for walking, and that's just what I'll do. One of these days, these boots. All right, that's in your brain, too. I listened to that song one day. It's been in the brain for 2 weeks. And I thought later, Lord, why did I listen to that Nancy Sinatra song? We had this craving. How about... A lot of people have to understand before they step out. They're ruled by their emotions. Anger, fear, confusion, rejection, or passivity. You know, passivity, let me tell you, passivity is the opposite of diligence. And passivity results in a unruly body and a chaotic soul. But the problem with being passive is when you're passive, your body and soul take over. Your mind rules, it depends on your personality, but it may be your body. Some just bodily passions rule. If you don't keep a tether on it, boom, you're just pigging out. Hello? You're just hogging out, whatever, lusting out. If you don't keep a tether on the mind, the emotions rule by roller coaster. That's the way it is. If passivity is the root of a lot of our problems. So that's why it says, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful will be under tribute. We really do have a choice. And the last place we're going to look, Hebrews 11:6, unless the Lord quickens another verse. Hey, I'm going good on time this morning. Hebrews 11:6. What I like to teach on Sunday mornings is exhortation to walk in the Spirit. Can you amen? How many of y'all need that? We need to be reminded. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not. What? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's Galatians 5. What verse is that? 16? Clint, why don't you ask me about that? Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of flesh. You know, I used to have that verse backwards. I used to think that verse meant, okay, what I need to do is not walk in the flesh. You know, try not to walk in the flesh. Just for my own strength, do the best I can. And that's how I walk in the Spirit. I failed every time. And then the Lord revealed to me what it says. You do the A part, the B part follows. Walk in the Spirit, and you will find the lust of the flesh are not insatiable, not as demanding. You basically discipline, put them down like children, sent them to their room, close the door, and you have a more peaceful life. So the key to all of this is walking in the Spirit. And the only way you're going to walk in the Spirit, the only thing that's going to draw us away from that lemon meringue pie at 2 a.m, the only thing that's going to draw us away from the demands of the flesh and spirit, we got to see something that's so much better. So much more wonderful and glorious and heavenly and fulfilling and satisfying, and that's a glimpse of His glory. That's to walk in the Spirit and comprehend, like I'm beginning to understand more and more, walking in the reality of eternal life. That eternal life is just not something we're going to have someday, sweet by and by after we die. Eternal life is today. In fact, it says in John 17, eternal life is to know Him. To know Jesus is eternal life. I believe God wants us to live on the edge of eternity every day, every hour, every minute, every moment, to live on the edge of eternity. To have an eternal perspective of the dailiness of life. And more the Holy Ghost is speaking that to me. No matter what I'm doing, no matter where I'm at, no matter what context, if I'm looking here and doing this and I turn my head, it's a whole nother reality of eternity. We don't know how close we are to the veil of eternity. I mean, we're in this flimsy, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that we're in a tent. We're dressed in a tent. He says, for the absent for the body is to be present with the Lord. You know, we just once in a while have a glimpse of it. We go to someone's funeral. We maybe have a close brush with death, and we go, whoa, man, I had a close brush with death this morning. I did. One of the most dangerous intersections in the Pasadena is coming off of Oak Street onto, Southmore? And I hate that intersection. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I came up this morning, Sunday morning, right? No cars. Look to the left, no cars. Look to the right, no cars. Pulled out, boom, a truck went right by. I mean, oh, Jesus. And that lady, some lady in a purple truck. And I said, oh, Jesus, I need a couple more angels. How many are glad you got angels in your cars? That happened this morning, and it was Sunday morning. You know what I think? Because there was no cars anywhere. I just didn't see this truck. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let me preach a sermon this morning, so He kept me alive. Amen? We don't have any promise of the day. That's how close we are to the edge of eternity. Lord, I pray You would teach us, that You would open our eyes to the eternal reality of the spiritual realm. Lord, that what's really going on in the world, all around us, is there are demonic entities and angelic beings, and there's a heavenly Father and this heavenly host working out the divine truths of God all the way to the end times, when Jesus finally comes here and sets up His kingdom forever. Lord, forgive us for getting caught in the whirlwind, Lord. For getting caught in the whirlpool of the sewage of the world, Lord. Rather than keeping our eyes, looking unto Him, the author and finisher of our faith. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Mind therefore the things that be above and not the things of the earth. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, it's a choice we have in our hand every day to make choices to walk in the Spirit and then the things of the flesh. Oh, they may periodically bug us, but Lord, they don't rule us anymore. Lord, we can walk as overcomers. And if we fall, praise God, the just man falls and rises again. Bible says, all my springs are in thee. We can just fall and spring back up into your presence. So Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, there are three parts to this verse. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's part one. Part two, for he that comes to God must believe that He is. And part three, and that He is a rewarder of them that what? Diligently seek Him. Now let's submit, if you want to underline any part, underline the third part of that verse. God rewards those that diligently seek Him. Now notice it doesn't say intelligently seek Him or occasionally seek Him. A lot of people, they have a relationship. God is like a fire extinguisher on the wall. You know the reason we have fire extinguishers? It's in case there's a fire, you run to it, you put the fire out. That's where their God is. They hang Him on the wall. They walk by it every day. They pat it. Hey, God, how you doing? I'm glad you're there. I'll call you if I need you. That's called living a self-sufficient life. It's called being soulless or carnal. And many people, unfortunately, they profess to be Christians, but the reality, God is just, and we run to Him, and God, you know, the Lord loves us. And if that's the only place He'll give us in our life, He loves us so much, He'll take it. But we don't know what we cheat ourselves from. You know, I looked in the Greek here, and it says, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Let me tell you something interesting. That word rewarder there is the only time it's translated in the Bible. interestingly enough. Even though the word reward is found many times in the New Testament, this particular Greek word is the only time, and it means, God is rewarder than the seeking, it means a remunerator, one who pays wages for service. God is a rewarder. He will pay wages. You know, like somebody once said, God will never be our debtor. When you seek Him, seek and what? Knock. What's the third one? Ask. The bottom line is God will never be your debtor. And what's amazing about the Lord, it says a smoking flax He will not quench. It tells us in Isaiah 42. A broken reed, you know, but I have found the Lord. Jesus said once, he was trying to think, teach this thing about reward. He says, look, if you just give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, you won't lose your reward. Did you know he said that? He didn't say in my name. He says, if you just give a cup of cold water in at least a disciple's name. Here, Randy, I give this to you in the name of Seth. I mean, Jesus said, I'll get a reward. Seth, I give this to you in the name of Bo. The point Jesus was making was, look, do something. Amen? Something. I mean, just a little cold water in the name of a disciple. You can do that! Can you do anything? Listen, we're saved by grace, but rewarded by works. Are you hearing me? One of the biggest mistakes of the church is the notion of grace, and they don't understand works. Works is what it's all about. You're saved. Now go to work. And the Bible says if you don't work, you're, according to James 2, how do you know you're saved by your works? You're not saved by works, you're saved by grace. But you're rewarded by works. As a body without breath is dead, so faith without works is dead. We're called to do for Jesus. And you know, interesting enough, today's reading in the one-year Bible, today, is when he comes again, he will gather all before him, and he will say, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom for eternity, for when I was sick, you visited me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in need, you came. And they said, when did we do this? You sick? You in prison? When did Jesus go to jail? You naked? He said, look, whatever you do to the least of these, my brethren, you do to me. And then he said, and you on my left hand, be banished, listen, this is heavy stuff, to the eternal banishment of hell that was prepared for the devil and his demons. He says, because when I was sick, you didn't do anything. When I was in need, you just sat on your, you just didn't do anything. You just was content. Once saved, always saved. I'm a grace man. He says, you know, be departed from me to everlasting fire. When do we not? Because whatever you didn't do for the least of these, you didn't do for me. This is written. Now you say, well, I don't understand. If I'm saved, how can I go to hell? You know, there's a big argument about that. I've been saved a long time, and I've had all kind of beliefs about that. I, for a long time, believed that once you're saved, there's no way you'll ever go to hell. You can get saved, that's it. You got. And then there's the other extreme people believe, that, man, you never know you're saved. You don't know you're getting to heaven until you come up to Peter. And then he looks at your card, and he says, all right. You know what? I believe the middle is always the truth. You know the truth is? If you're born again, if you're saved, if you truly know Jesus, you are secure in the Lord. Listen to me. You are absolutely secure in the Lord. Unless you become reprobate. That's the balance, and I can prove it in Scripture. In other words, if you know Jesus, reprobation is very difficult to come to, by the way. It don't mean just falling in sin or rebelling. Reprobation means you're going down a road, and the bridge is out, right? The bridge is out down the road. And you go down the road and there's a little sign that says, bridge out, and you blow it off. And then there's two more signs with yellow lights. Bridge out, you blow them off. And then there's a big barricade. You pass through the barricade. Then there's some more barricades. You pass through the barricade. Then the police officer, and you drive around his car. Then there's another police officer in a helicopter, and you just ignore him. Then you go out. Yeah, that's reprobate. Is God good? Will he warn you? How many of you have ever even gone down the road of reprobation just a little bit? Every one of us. But how many of y'all seen the yellow light and go, turn around? Hello? The fear of the Lord. Amen. How many of y'all know there are people that they so love sin. They may be saved, but they don't want to give up sin. And you know, Jesus said, they said, many will come to me in that day and said, Lord, Lord, who are they, what are they calling Jesus? Lord, Lord, have we not walked with you? Have we not healed the sick? Have we not cast out demons? And he said, behold, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me. Whoa, that's reprobation. So it is possible that ought to put a little fear of the Lord in us. Can you hear an amen? But we have such a good God. The goodness of God loves us, leads us to repentance. And if you just got a little bit of snap in you, when you reach the policeman who's waving his arms with his pistol, screaming, don't go any further, stop the car. Hello? Turn around, put it in reverse, and go back. Can you hear an amen? Let go of the sin. But how many of you know there are people who just don't want to let go of their sin? And sin will damn you. But the good news is, folks, I doubt in all of my years with the Lord, I've met very many reprobates. I probably have. I probably encountered one or two. In fact, I know of one right now. I do. What's his name? We just heard of a situation, one guy that renounced the Lord utterly, wanted nothing to do with God. And now he's left his wife, living with another woman. Yeah, he's gone reprobate. God have mercy on his soul. And he knows Jesus. And he has gone reprobate. God have mercy on his soul. How many of y'all know the Holy Ghost is going to work on him till his dying day? He will leave the 99 and do what? But I'm going to tell you what I know. Reprobation is the other extreme. The other extreme is, come ye blessed of my Father to the kingdom. For he gave one of one talent, one five. And they did, look, what you gave me, I produce more. Then Luke 19 says, and have a rule over 5 and 10 cities. See, forget reprobation. That's the back end. We're looking at the front end. Am I being faithful with that which is given me? Because everything God's given us, we're going to be held accountable for. The Bible says in Matthew 10, every idle word you speak. Everything we've been given, we're going to be held accountable for in that day. Every day, every hour, every minute. Malachi 3:16 says that every time you think on his name, he writes it in a book. Did you know that? Every time you think Jesus, he writes, there's a reward. And the question is, right now, exam time hadn't come. You know, finals aren't here. In the sense that, let's say that the end of it is that we've still got a chance right now. We can scratch. We still got choices. We're not frozen on the other side. We all have choices. So the purpose of the preaching of the word, folks, is to encourage us to obey the Holy Spirit. I am not saying go out there and get in dead works, because he says in Hebrews, repent of dead works. No. Don't go try to be, you know, do stuff just to do stuff. You just say, Lord, I'm available. Use me however you would. Amen? That's all you got to do. Lord, I'm available. I'm available. Use me, Lord. Make my life a difference in somebody else's life. I'm available. And then when the Holy Ghost nudges you, and he convicts you, and he says, don't do what you want to do today. Go and lay your life down for someone else. Obey him. And lay down your life. And then you'll experience an intimacy with Jesus. And you know what will happen? The insatiable demands of the body and soul will increasingly decrease to the point where you're walking consistently as an overcomer. Can I have an amen? Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Jesus. Let's pray, everybody. Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you would bring conviction to our lives. Lord, we're all culpable. Every one of us, Lord. Every day it's a battle. There's not a person in this room that doesn't bear witness to what I'm saying. But Lord, we need Holy Ghost fire. We need you to stir up the embers, stir up the gift within us, Lord. Father, we don't want to waste time. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. We have no promise of tomorrow. Lord, we want to come and not just have the fire burn up wood, hay, and stubble. Well, we would like to have gold, silver, and precious jewels to lay at the feet of Jesus. So, Lord, we pray mercy on our soul this morning. Forgive us for yielding to the things of the flesh. Forgive us for our affinity with sin, Lord. Lord, we're all tempted. Lord, forgive us for just yielding and wallowing in it. For, Lord, the wages of sin is death. Have mercy. Forgive us. Repent now. Folks, I call you to repent right now. Tell the Lord, forgive me. Have mercy on me. And say, Father, change my heart. Change my heart, Lord. Do whatever you got to do. Whatever it takes, however long it takes, break me, Lord. Break me, Lord, so that I won't want to walk that way anymore. Snap me, Lord. Snap me into reality so I can walk in the way of righteousness and bear good fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold for the furtherance of the kingdom. Lord, I pray that out of this group of people, Lord, that hears my voice today, you would bear much fruit in their lives. That on that day when we stand before you, Lord, we'll have much to show, much to give the Master who laid his life down, who shed his blood. Lord, we'll be able to throw our crowns at your feet and honor you for all eternity for the privilege of being part of bringing a kingdom in the lives of others. We bless you, Lord Jesus.
For more audio teachings like these, please visit newwineonline.com.